Bless Huey as he brings his message to us this morning, and help us to apply it to our lives, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we do pray this morning. Amen. Please be seated, everyone.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm always amazed by the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And I saw today that we're going to have a card here, so you use that when you invite someone. And as it just so happens, I'm going to talk about inviting people. So that's the Lord working together. I praise God. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
How about now? No, okay, here we go. Praise God. Sorry. Don't start, Huey. Do not start. Habakkuk 2:4 says, but the just shall live by faith. First thing I ever spoke about was faith, Hebrews 11. And I remember I was a brand new Christian, and someone asked me, I think I was 16 maybe, hey, can, just as we got to church, can you speak tonight? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Because I'm like, sure. And I praise God, because it's that faith message, right? It's that faith message. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Amen.
And then that was really actually where I learned about faith before. It was a nebulous faith, and it's like, oh, praise God, you know, faith. But it is, without faith, it is impossible to cut. And the just shall live by faith. We're going to try a little faith exercise today. So, I have forever wanted to be a musician. Guitar, like Mark, or Ray with the wonderful piano, and of course Rebecca, and others that have so much talent. And I can tell you right now, if you ever heard me sing, you know I have no musical talent. In fact, as I walk by, the talent that you have kind of ekes out a little bit, as it turns out. I'm just really, really bad when it comes to music. So what I want to do today is I'm going to pray, and I have been praying, and I want you to pray with me this whole service, that by the end of the service, I'll be able to play like Ray. No, because I believe that God can do that. Amen? God can do all things. I believe that God can do that.
Amen.
Now, of course, that's silly. That's not the way it works. Because the way it works is Ray and Mark and Rebecca and musicians, they have to go through that trial and error and hours of working hard work and failing. And for me to just sit down and say, well, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm just going to pray, and God's going to give it to me, because God can do all things. Absolutely, God can do all things, and absolutely, we're to believe that, but it is not always God's will. Amen? That is not always God's will. And here's what we know. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I could sit down, pray, and say, all right, God's going to do his magic. But really, the Lord's going to come back and say, you need to work. You need to get up, and you need to practice. You need to put it, it needs to be in here, in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
So that's not going to work. But it's faith, and faith, we live by faith. Yes, but faith according to God's will. It is not the will of God that any should perish, right? So I have 7 children. And I pray so much for them. And I actually witnessed, and I invited to church, but I witnessed to my oldest son, And he was this close to saying yes to Jesus this week, and I don't know, but I'm gonna keep praying. And what I'm asking you to do, and that's why these are wonderful, is I'm asking you to put feet to those prayers. Pray, but then get up and go and invite. You've got neighbors, you've got people who are that you know, that you love, that God has put on your heart. Invite them to church, right? Give them. I ended up giving my Bible to my son. And so, praise God. And it will bear fruit, and it has borne fruit. And I thank God for it. And God's timing is sometimes something that it's like, okay. But I believe it. I absolutely believe it. And well done, thou good and faithful servants, right? We're faithful servants. It's not necessary. And I didn't die for my sons or my daughters. I did not die for them. I did not shed blood. It wouldn't have done any good for me to do that anyway. I wasn't the perfect slain lamb, right? The Lamb of God who did give his life for them, for me, for all of us, before we even knew him. Before we were even here, he gave his life knowing that one day we would need that blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't come to God and say, oh, finally, I'm good, I'm perfect. Now I can come to your church. No, that's just the opposite. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the well. I came to call those who were sick, right? And the sickness that we have is that sin sickness that we have. And we come and we say to the Lord, I need a healing. And I accept that gift that you've given me in John 3:16, right? And so what I want you to do is just as you pray and you see a need, yes, pray, absolutely. But if the Lord has allowed you to be able to go and meet that need, then go and meet that need, right? It might be a meal. It might be I'm gonna go over and I'm gonna do their yard work, which I'm not gonna do that, but somebody might. God bless you if you can do that. But I mean, that's the kind of faith, right? And that's the kind of faith that moves God. That's the kind of faith that moves mountains and produces miracles. And that's the kind of faith that we want to have. Okay, that's the sermon. Praise God. We go. No, it's not. No, you're not going to get away with that. I've got like two more sermons. So you just sit down where you're at. I'm sorry, because after this, you can all write on those little cards, Pastor, thank God that you are the way you are, because you're so much better than Pastor and Brother Huey. And that's all right with me. I don't mind. I love my pastor so much. And I think, oh, yeah, I've done worse than this, so praise God. But I do believe that God can, maybe he does give some people the talent to just sit down and play the piano. But if I'm going to pray about it, I'm going to have to go and I'm going to have to believe and I'm going to have to do some. It's like, hey, you got to do some work, right? Hallelujah. Okay, if I'm going to sit down and see a neighbor and say, that person should be in church, I'm going to pray about it and God's magic will work. Get up and go invite them. Oh, but what if they reject me? What if they throw rocks at me? Okay, then they do. Guess what? That makes you a Christian in today's world. That makes you a Christian. And that's what they did with Jesus. Amen? So, hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Now, like I said, that's sermon one. And I don't like to call them sermons, but that's the word one. We talked about faith. Let's talk about God's arm is not short. This is a testimony. This is my testimony. And I want to tell you, friends, God is not a man that he gets tired. He doesn't need sleep. Amen? His arm is not short. Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. That's out of 2 Chronicles. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give all my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. I think you understand, this is beginning of my testimony. This was 37 years ago. I'm the one on the left. I'm the tall one with the beard. I'm kidding. I'm hoping you see that. I'm going to tell you something. Back then, I had life figured out. Hallelujah. I had it all figured out. I was a Christian. I was married. I had 3 children. I worked for the world's largest computer company at the time. It was not Apple. God had blessed me. I played tennis competitively, and I was ranked in Northern California. I could hit a golf ball a country mile. Problem was, as I got closer to the green, I'd still hit it a country mile, and it's like, oh, that's not right. I was a youth leader, youth pastor at a church, and I drove that church bus on Sundays, and I picked up all those kids, and I had life all figured out. Oh, also, I could be the biggest jerk. You see, I had not yet learned about God's grace. I knew the word, I just didn't know how to apply God's grace to others. I was highly impressed by what a good Christian I was, and you better believe it. I knew the word. I was sure I was right. I loved God. I attended church every week when there wasn't a football game going on in the morning, and some of you understand that, others maybe not. I thank God for TiVo. I prayed. I knew the word of God. I worked hard. I had it all going. I was friendly and I was loving for a big guy. And I love my wife and kids. I was good at being an enforcer of God's will and law. I was a little bit of a Sadducee. And if I didn't feel like your holiness was up to my standard, then I wasn't shy. And this is what we're going to learn here. You see, as I get closer, I'm kind of like that mirror on the side. As I get closer, I get bigger. And if you know me, you know that. And I saw someone doing something wrong. I felt like that needed to be taken care of. And I felt like God had given me the edict to do that. And it just so happened that I was wearing the tennis shoes that could kick butt. The only problem was I hadn't learned grace. God had to teach it to me. One day there was a meeting. And that meeting at work was to critique the job that my manager, a guy we'll call Mike, because that was his name. His name was Mike. And so we called him Mike, and I was to critique him. And this was something that was done every year. And you would have all-day meetings where you would go through and say, how am I doing? And then say, all right, here's how you're doing. And you would give them feedback. I was a top employee. While I was there, just a local that I had an award named after me, for instance. I don't know. I was so impressed with myself. I had a lot of skills, but I had not love, right? I didn't have love. I didn't know how to do that. Maybe I did know how to do that. Maybe I just denied it. Because I felt like, hey, I can do it. Why can't you do it? So back to our story. We had this meeting, and I remember telling Mike, hey, you do a terrible job. You're not good with people, and you're not righteous. And I didn't mean that in a Bible way. I mean, you're just, as a person, you're just not a good person. And I remember saying specifically, you made your bed, now you have to sleep in it. I was so brutal, merciless, that little Lisa, who was from Hayfield, Minnesota, 200 people, she had never heard that kind of a thing before, and so she burst out in tears, and she had to leave the meeting. She was gone, because, not me, though, I was just fine. You know why? Because I was right. I was on the side of right. Mike was a first-year manager, and he was talented. And we weren't friends, but we weren't not friends. It was just my manager. And he was devastated by what I had to say and the way I said it. I soldiered on, knowing that, hey, I was in the right here. I had forgotten that one day God had judged me wanting. And he responded in grace, unearned kindness and favor toward me. He responded in grace towards me. When I had the chance to show grace towards Mike, instead, I was merciless. The next day, I used to give out Bibles. This Bible. I used to give this Bible out. And I'd have their name put on it. And I had not given one to Mike, the manager. But the next day the Lord said to me, you take a Bible and you give it to Mike. That was like, okay, all right. So I did. I was obedient. I went and I had a Bible made for him. I just put his name on it. Great Bible. You can't even buy them anymore. And I took it up to, and I knocked on the door, and he said, what do you got there? And I said, these are the words of life. I'll never forget it. I said, these are the words of life. And folks, I'm going to tell you, God had gone before me. God had gone before me. God had worked in Mike's heart and life. And we went through the Romans Road, and he gave his heart to the Lord that day. Yeah, praise God. I remember telling other people who were Christians that worked there in the same facility, hey, Mike gave his heart to the Lord. And I did not get a lot of positive reaction. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, there was not much time for follow-up. There was not much time for discipleship. Immediately, I was transferred out, and Mike was transferred out as well. A lot of times, they do that. And so, honestly, I forgot. We didn't keep in touch, either. But I kind of forgot about the whole thing. My first wife of 17 years divorced me. My three children stayed with her, and I gave her the house because the house that we bought in a nice place with nice schools. And I'm going to tell you something. My first wife was right to divorce me. I was that kind of a person. Even though I was a youth leader and everything else, and I knew the Word of God, I had nothing to do with grace. Other than the grace that was shed upon me, I wasn't turning around and showing grace to others. About 28 years ago, I met Hope. We were married 25 years ago. This August 18th will be 25 years. And I think that that's amazing that God didn't just crush me. Instead, for the rotten person that I really was, He came around and He showed me grace. Amen? And I thank God for it every day. No longer did I work for that computer company. Now I had to work for another large company. I drove a Toyota Tundra, the best truck ever made. God had blessed me. God had still blessed me. Throughout all of this, God had blessed me. And He rescued me from the brink. Some might say, oh, you're divorced, you're single, oh, you can go out and you can party all the time. Honestly, I wasn't that way. I didn't want to party all the time. I wanted to be married. I was so glad to be married. Almost 4 years ago now, I was 63. I've served God in many churches, many times, not perfectly. I started getting sick. Maybe some of you remember it. I told myself it was because I had the flu. Hope tells me, you need to go see a doctor. And my response was, I'm from West Texas. I've never been sick. And I'm not going to be sick now. I don't ever need to go and see a doctor. And the other thing, I was afraid of needles. I'm not going to lie. I was deathly afraid of needles. So I told my wife, I am not going to go see the doctor. Later that day, I'm driving myself to the hospital because Hope was right. Of course she was right. And I don't even remember driving myself. I think my truck knew the way, honestly, because when they went looking for the truck, it was parked some weird place. Like, where did you park the truck? I said, I don't really know. I don't even know how I got here. I remember when I got out of the truck, and I had the RSV flu, I thought I had the flu. All I need is go in and get some medicine, I'll be fine. And I went in, and everybody was staring at me, more than normal, like you would normally stare at a big, tall guy. And I was in the line, and I was holding on to stuff so that I didn't fall, because I was really, really sick. And this little old nurse who had been nurse for 100 years or whatever, she was a grizzled veteran, I will call her that. And she said, come on in. And I said, I've got the flu, I just need some. And she said, no, sit down, we're going to take your blood pressure. Okay, well, it's going to be high because I know already I've got hypertension, it's going to be high, so just to warn you. And she says, high? It was 232 over 108. And, which I didn't know anything. I didn't even know it could go that high. And she says, I'll never forget, she calls, hey, Susie, come get this guy. He's about to code out. And I'm like, no, all I need, if you just give me some medicine, I'll get out of your way, because I did not want to go. I knew what that meant. That meant needles, and I didn't want, I don't like. So, praise God, as it turns out, I had congestive heart failure, double pneumonia, chronic kidney disease, and I was a mess. And when I was laying there in the gurney, this emergency room nurse comes in, and I said to her, what are you doing? And she says, I'm going to get blood. I said, oh, no, you can't do that until my wife gets here. My wife has to be holding my hand. And she sneered. She sneered and goes, that's ridiculous. And bloop, and immediately, blood drawn, you know, she wasn't going to mess around. And she had more stuff to do and stuff, and it's like, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to wait. And so there we go. That's how that blood was drawn. It certainly wasn't my idea. So I was on a gurney. They took the blood. Doctor comes in and he says, how are you feeling? I said, I feel fine. I've just got the flu. I'll be all right. And he said, well, we're trying to figure out how it is you're still alive. I don't think you have the flu. And so he said, he explained to me, you've got congestive heart failure, which honestly, my dad had a heart problem. I had never even heard of congestive heart failure. And so, all right, fine. They started giving me all kinds of drugs. I'm in a hospital room, next thing. And of course, I'm too big for all the beds. They ended up changing me out from one bed to the next about four times before they finally got one that was almost the right size. And I remember they had to use a gurney to pick me up because, not a gurney, pardon me, they had to use a lift, a mechanical lift to pick me up because there weren't enough people there. And I had no strength in my legs. They told me, don't get out of this bed because you'll fall. I'm like, I'll be fine. And I tried, of course, and didn't work because I won't listen. That's the real truth. I won't listen. But they were good, and God's grace kept me alive. Amen? God's grace kept me alive. And I didn't really understand why. I couldn't, I'll tell you for sure, one night, two men from the CIA came and visited me. I know, but I'm telling you, it happened. And they woke me up and they said, hey, Huey, they're trying to kill you. And I said, I know. And I told my wife, and my wife said, you're hallucinating. I said, I am not hallucinating. I'm telling you, two men came in, and I can still see their faces. And it was the weirdest thing. And then later on, I was forgetting the names of my grandchildren as they visit. I couldn't remember. And I still have a few problems with memory. Sorry about that. I know I'm messing this up, and I'm trying not to. So, one morning, I wake up, and I see this guy with a beard, and I thought, oh, there's the guy. There's the guy from the CIA that's here to kill me. And he looks at me, I didn't know, and he looks at me, and I looked at him, and he said, hi, Pops. And it was my oldest son, and he was there to visit me. I hadn't seen him in quite a while. And I'm like, oh, I thought you were here to kill me. And he says, no, no, Pops, I'm just checking to see how you're doing. And again, that's God's grace. Can I tell you that since this has happened, God has really moved in the lives of my children. And we weren't necessarily we weren't close at all. It was just one of those things because I didn't live with grace. I didn't treat others with grace. I definitely did not treat them with grace. So I tell the Lord, after they tell me, hey, we're going to have to do dialysis. Great, more needles. That's great. Good news. I'm already, every single day, they take blood like three or four times. It was terrible. That was the worst part of it. That and the hospital food, I'll be honest with you, that was the worst part of it. But I tell the Lord, hey, you know what? I'm ready. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to come home. And it must be that this is all a sign that it's over. And I would wake up and I'd be disappointed. And I'd tell God right there in the bed, just, hey, I thought I was going home. And I thank God for my wife, my children, and family, and the Edgewater family that I have here in the prayers. I thank God for that. Because I wouldn't have done it without it. Wouldn't have made it. So after 10 days, they send me home. And they tell me, we're going to send you to an assisted living place. They actually tell my wife, we're going to send you to an assisted living place. And my wife, thank God, she says, no, we're not going to do that to him. We're going to come home. And as it turns out, I have two daughters who are full-time charge nurses and another who is a doctor of physical therapy. So again, God's grace. So they sent me home. And I'm there, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. I went into a pretty deep depression. I remember they took me, and Hope handed me off in a wheelchair to go back and get x-rays. And okay, here I go. I'm going in the back, and I'm getting x-rays. I get x-rays, and when I come out, I'm crying. I'm crying because I was sure that my wife left me while I was in there. I was sure that she finally gave up on me and left me. Of course she had not. And I thank God for that. But I was, that's where I was. I was like, why would anybody stick with me? So one of the good things, no longer eating hospital food, I was home eating Hope's food, and that was great. I was no longer allowed to play tennis. My 50 years of tennis and my plans for retirement of going out and playing tennis every single day. Nope, that's not going to happen anyway. Okay, all right. I didn't understand, and I went into a deep depression. Hope can tell you, and the kids can tell you, every little thing made me cry. I was just like, I had lost all understanding of why I was still alive. And I said, why'd you leave me like this? What's going on? So I'm there at the house a couple of weeks later, and I had to learn to walk again. I couldn't walk. I was stuck in the chair, and you had to do all these exercises just to get out of the chair, for instance, and that was an exercise. And you do that for a couple of weeks, and then finally, okay, I'm going to use this, I'm going to walk around on this. And it was hard work. One day I got a text message. Huey, this is Mike. Will you call me, please? Mike. I didn't know who that was, and I looked up the phone number, and it was an Arizona phone number, and I didn't know anybody from Arizona that named Mike. So I called him, and it was Mike, the manager. And I said, hi, Mike, and he said, hi, and I said, what's going on? He said, well, I just feel like, you know, I'm sitting here praying. I pray for you every day, and I was sitting here praying, and the Lord just has been telling me, I need to call you and talk to you. And I'm like, seriously? He said, so you don't know anything about my situation? I wouldn't know. How would I know anything about your situation? What's your situation? And I explained to him what was going on. And there were a lot of tears because he's a deacon now in a church, and he knows the Word of God backwards and forwards, and it's just that he's married and God has redeemed him. And I told him, I said, Mike, that's all God, you know, that is all God. And the fact that you called me today, or excuse me, that you contacted me, that is all God too, because I needed a reason. I needed to hear a reason to believe that God still loved me. And the thing is, God did care, right? This whole time, all this time that I was like, oh, where's God? He was working. He was working. He was right there. So we must have talked about 2 hours. And at the end, I had been praying for another person we worked with named Arlene. And I said, Mike, I need to ask you a favor, please. He said, yeah, well, anything. I said, Mike, I need you to pray for Arlene. And there was silence for about 15 seconds. And he said, he came back and he said, Huey, I pray for her every day. And I realized, it's not all about me. It's not all about my needs. It's not about what I'm doing. God is in control, amen? And God loves us, and God has a plan, and it's a good plan.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there were a lot of tears. And suddenly, I had a reason to praise God again. And I took my eyes off my situation and on to the Lord and on to God's goodness and grace. And that's how God taught me grace. Now, that wasn't the end, because I ended up the next year, ended up in hospital and in the bed for another 100 days. So he wasn't quite done teaching me, and I'm sure he's still not done teaching me. But I want to tell you, my message today is this. God loves you. God's grace is not based upon your goodness. You're never going to be perfect. Not until you're with Jesus. Amen. Now, you've been made perfect by the blood of Jesus that is shed over your life, and I thank God for that. And when God looks, he does not see that sin. And God has, and Jesus has freed you from the power of that sin, and I thank God for that. But the thing is, sometimes I know in my life, and maybe in your life, we look at others and we say, well, we don't shed that grace that I should have been shedding to other people for a long, long time, because I knew the word. And you can see here, that this is my family now. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God is. Folks, young person, young people, you want to serve God, get into his word. You'll be different. You'll be different from all your friends that don't serve God. But God loves you, and he's got a plan for your life. And it's a good plan. People who are in the middle, maybe have been a Christian for a while, and you feel like, wow, is this all there is? And what's happening? Where is the Lord? Because it's just day by day. That's not true. The Lord is alive and well, and he's on the throne, and he is watching over you. He is protecting you. Get into that word. Amen. These are the words of life right here. Get into your word every day. Pray every day. I don't know how to pray. If you read the word, you'll learn to pray. Amen. My prayers come from reading the word. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here and you're a more mature Christian, and maybe you've been a Christian like I have for a long, long time, and you feel like, well, the Lord has forgotten me, and I'm just living my life out here. No, that's a lie. That's a lie straight from hell. God definitely wants to use you. God will use you. God is using you in ways you don't even see and know sometimes. But hold on to Christ. He is true. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to make the mistake of... Oh, look at that. Praise God. I made it past 11:15, so I'm glad of that. You guys are wonderful. I have a couple of more things, but I'm not going to go over them. I have the Romans Road. If I want to tell you something. If you need to pray or you have something on your heart or anything like that, I want you to see the pastors or see or myself. I'd be glad to pray with you. I want to. We all need each other. Not one of us was put here so that we could do this all alone. We were put here to work together, and we do. And I'm so proud of this church because we are a loving church and we are a giving church, and I thank God for that. But don't ever forget God's grace on your life. And don't ever let the enemy come and tell you, oh, it's over. You're done. You made a mistake and that's it. Nope, that's just not true. So I just thank you for your time. Thank you for being who you are. And I pray that you are blessed today. God bless you. Thank you. Father, we want to thank you for, I just thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for this body. And I pray, Lord, for so many who are not here, not able to come, or maybe they're traveling, or whatever it is. And I just pray you'd be with them, and I know that you are. Hallelujah. I thank you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
I just want to thank Huey again for bringing the message today. I hope you guys are all encouraged. Next week, we're having Reese Bell, who's from the PSWC conference, is going to be guest speaking. We're going to have Huey give us the final blessing for today, sending you out.
I'm reading from Romans here, chapter 1, verse 5. It says, through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. I ask you, go in grace. I pray that you go in grace. Remember, God's grace. Hallelujah. Amen. I love you all. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate you. Thank you.